T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Tony, it's time to talk about the Bears. Let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
The White Sox made some roster news. Tony, cut the music. It's not the roster move that you were hoping for. Tony, put the music back up. They did bring back Daniel Palka, though, to the Major League roster. So there's that.
Don't stop believing.
Yeah, it's they're still, they can call up Luis Robert at any point. They're probably just not going to, so it's fine. We have another guest that joins us on the Al Pomani Ford Hotline. Al Pomani Ford, 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from at Al Pomani Ford. I don't know if he wants to talk White Sox. He probably could because he does all the homework. But what you pay to hear Patrick Manley talk about is long snapping and the Bears, because he is part of our fantastic pregame show here at The Score. And man, we are there. We are like 48 hours away from the Bears getting ready to do their thing against the Packers. So he joins me now here on The Score. Hello, Patrick.
Good afternoon. Hey, man, we can go back and talk White Sox, maybe a little Tommy John era.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you would definitely be qualified. We could also talk about Duke versus Alabama if you want it.
Maybe the first quarter of that game.
It was good. Yeah, Alabama held scoreless for the first quarter against Duke, and then they ran up 42 points. But that's,
and we covered the spread. We covered the spread. That's all that mattered.
Roll Tide.
Big time. Yeah, there we go.
Big time. So Patrick, for a couple things here.
Yeah.
What does it mean for you as someone who played almost two decades for the Bears, for the NFL to open things up this season, the 100th season, with Bears-Packers on Thursday night?
It's absolutely perfect, you know, with these two teams and the history they have and how kind of even their records, Ben Lawrence, is just amazing with all over the years they've played together. But it kind of sums up the NFL, two old school teams that are still wearing the same uniforms. It's just exciting. And you know, what also makes it exciting is that they're going to be good. You know, it's not, think about a couple of years ago when the Bears were down, they might not have done this because they didn't have any good players and weren't up there on top. So this is exciting. It says a lot about the Bears and where they're at.
I know that you pour over film. You go back and forth. You look at things. What were the things that you saw from last year's Bears team that you want to see them improve on?
You know, let's just go a specific player, and that's Leonard Floyd. you know, I was sitting here, I've got a, you know, I'm writing all my notes down. I'm actually sitting in my basement right now, getting all this stuff ready for Thursday night with Olin. And I think we're working with Shep. I'm not sure if Hub's going to be there, but the questions I have that on defense, you know, they're going to be super solid. Is just, can Leonard Floyd take that step? Obviously Khalil Mack is going to get all the attention, but we need him to take that step and become a double digit guy, you know, and wreak havoc with the single block. That's the one thing, but they're going to be so darn good on that defense that, you know, can they make the transition to Chuck Pagano? I see no issues with that whatsoever, just because Coach Pagano has been around so long, worked with so many different guys, different personalities. They'll fit into his scheme just fine. But then offensively, I just want to see Mitch truly take, and Coach Nagy's talked about it, said it takes 3 years to master this offense, but I want to see him take that jump of when he breaks that huddle, that he knows what's going to happen in front of him. And I think we talked about this last year before, like a Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, the great ones. They've already broken it down once they see what's in front of them, that this or this is going to happen. And then they can go execute and dump it off and read that defense quickly. I want to see Mitch take that step. We'll find out quickly. I think one good thing is he's faced Mike Pettine in that defense last year once before, which will help him a little bit. And same with Matt Nagy game planning for him. But I want to see him take that step of just recognizing what's going to happen. Run up the line, make that Mike point right away so they can get in protection. Receivers know, you know, who could be hot. That's what I want to see.
I know that this is simplifying things, so please feel free to expand as much as you want on it. The idea being that Vic Fangio is a guy that didn't like to blitz and that Chuck Pagano likes to blitz more than Vic Fangio. How does Pagano make this defense his own without doing things that he's done in the past?
So how are you saying that? How's Chuck going to make this his own without doing what Vic did in the past?
No, what he's done is what okay. Chuck's done in the past, where if it's one thing to look at what Vic's done and say, look,
it really worked
last year where they weren't sending guys to get to quarterbacks. And maybe Chuck's like, yeah, you guys had a great year and you had the most takeaways and all that, but I believe in sending more to put pressure on the quarterback. So how does that transition happen?
It just by installing his defense. There's a reason why he's become a head coach in the NFL, why he's led the Baltimore Ravens, you know, why he's been a defensive coordinator as long as he has, because what he does works. And it, yeah, it's different than Vic. It's just like Sean McVay's offense is different than Matt Nagy's offense or Andy Reid's offense, but they all work. And it's just instilling his game plan, his beliefs, his thoughts, his theories to the guys and having them believe it and showing them. Maybe you go back and show old tape, hey, it worked here with the Ravens when I had Ray Lewis and these great guys, and we were, you know, dominant back then. And it's just getting guys to buy in, and it's worked for them. So I don't think it's going to be hard to do. And he's a pretty dynamic guy. I got a chance to talk to him at the Bears 100 for about 5 or 10 minutes. And just, you know, he's one of those people when you meet, you're like, yeah, that's the reason why he's where he's at. And I'm sure those guys in the meeting room and the defensive side of the ball are sold as well. And I think he's just going to stick with what he does.
I did a whole podcast today on Roquan Smith and his first season, how great I thought he played last year. And I know there are some people, like the Pro Football Focus people, didn't think that he played as great as I thought that he played. You watch the tape on him. I feel like that we're seeing just him scratch the surface of what he might be able to do.
That's 100% what it is. Sometimes you got to argue with the Pro Football Focus people. I do take some of the stuff they do and read into it and use it. And then some of the stuff, I'm just not sure if they know exactly what the player is asked to do. But Roquan Smith is an elite athlete on the field, obviously, with his speed. And then I got a chance to talk to Mel Tucker, who was his defensive coordinator at Georgia when he was coming out. And he said, Patrick, the biggest thing about this kid is not how athletic he is, how fast he is. It's how much of a gym rat he is, how much he likes to be in the weight room, and how much he likes to study. That he would be, you know, texting him, you know, as soon as he could to get the game plan in and questions all week about what's going on. And that, to me, you know, the great ones that I played with, Urlacher, Kreutz, Tillman, Briggs, those guys, they studied their butt off. So they knew, like I said, what was going to happen in front of them before the snap. They saw a formation, said this and this can happen. And I think you saw Roquan as the year went along without the training camp, he progressed in that. And he's a gym rat. And then put those that athletic ability together, he is going to be pretty special. And you know, here the other thing, Lawrence, the guys talk about is how respected he is as a rookie. And not every rookie can come in and get that right away. And they said everybody that I've talked to said they call him old man Roquan, just the way he carried himself. and that goes a long way in the locker room.
Huh. Okay. Well, that is good to know that he is taken to it that way. With the game coming up, and Patrick Manley is going to be on our pregame show here on The Score all season long. He's fantastic at what he does. Last year, the Bears had the advantage. No one knew what Matt Nagy was going to do and how he was going to deploy Mitchell Trubisky in this new offense. Matt LaFleur may have the advantage this year, considering that he might have the most talented quarterback who's ever played the position. What things would worry you if you were Chuck Pagano and Matt Nagy going into this game?
Yeah, if you listen to Chuck Pagano's press conference, it's, you know, it's personnel groupings, formations, and it's practice time preparing for that. You know, he can go back and watch all the Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan tape that he wants, and that's where LaFleur's background's from. But something's going to be different. It's going to be his own wrinkle, and I think it's just going to take a lot of reps and a lot of prep, and I think that's the good thing about this being the first game and the starters didn't play a whole lot in the preseason or if at all, that they could truly, you know, focus on Matt LaFleur and what he could possibly bring out. So I think the biggest thing that's going to happen is who can adjust the fastest during the game, whether it's Chuck Pagano or Matt LaFleur, depending on who throws what at who. And I think that's the biggest thing. And if you look at experience, I would take Chuck Pagano over Matt LaFleur right now, just because experience is one. And then two, yes, you have Aaron Rodgers on the side, but you don't have 11 players like the Bears do on defense all through that Packers offense.
No, that's true. And you're talking about a defense that has a bunch of all pros on it, for sure. And you brought up the idea of Mike Pettine, and I heard, you know, I was listening to some of the Bears press conferences yesterday, the idea of going up against Mike Pettine and him being a guy that loves to get after the quarterback too. What lessons do you hope Mitch learned from his experience last year?
What we talked about before is identifying what could come and being able to read and react faster. And I think he will. And I'm sure they, you know, were repping that the entire offseason, and especially the last probably two and a half weeks getting ready for this game. That's the number one thing, is just knowing what can come and read and react as fast as you can and put the ball in the proper hands. And I'm confident Mitch is learning that and is getting it done with the coaching staff he has. And then to go back to Mike Pettine, Chuck Pagano and Mike Pettine were together in 2008, I think, with the Ravens. So they've got a little bit of the same bloodlines, and maybe that could help Matt Nagy prepare for Mike Pettine and that defense a little bit more.
Who's the newcomer to this team that you're most excited to watch?
No, I think it's easy. It's David Montgomery. Just the limited time we've seen him in preseason, he looks like he has a chance to be special. Just his vision, his feet, the way he can cut, you know, the cut he saw backdoor and scored that touchdown. But I want to see if he can master the classroom and stay on the field for all three downs, not have to come off on third down. That's the biggest question mark about rookie running backs or even young running backs. But he's the guy for sure, Lawrence, that I can't wait to see the ball in his hands and see how well he does behind this offensive line.
You were a god when it came to special teams. This is what you did for a living. How did you feel about the way that the Bears approached the kicking situation throughout the offseason and now the preseason?
I was fine with it. I've heard a lot of people talk about they brought in so many people and they went about all this. The Sports Illustrated article where guys are complaining that they weren't treated right. I'm like, come on, man, be a big boy. It's a professional football. You got to go in there and earn the job. You don't need a pat on the back every day. That's your own job to do that. I just, that article I thought was a little interesting with guys complaining and not putting their name to it. But Lawrence, it's tough. I've got a list of names that are available now after the cuts, and I'm not sure if anyone on there is better than Cody Parkey, who is available. And that just kind of tells you where we stand with the kicking in the National Football League. It goes up and down, same with punters and snappers, that sometimes there's 25 real good ones out of 32 and seven fluctuate. I think we're down to 20, and it's just a tough position right now to find, you know, a good one. And let's just hope Eddie goes in there and kicks great for the next couple of weeks and builds some confidence and becomes a very good NFL kicker.
What beyond the makes could a fan look at, and maybe we can't, maybe we don't have enough knowledge to know that we could look at with Eddie and go, hey, Eddie's going well or Eddie's not going well?
It's easy. It's just how he makes them. Are they down the middle third of the upright? And it's that simple. I watched all his kicks from preseason and practice and in games. I know he went 8 for 9, but a lot of his makes are still on the outer third of the goalpost. And I'll go back to Robbie Gould and all of his kicks he made, and he's so consistent. And one reason why he's so good, all the good ones are good, Justin Tucker, they make it down the middle third. So there's really a little bit of error for them to push it left to right, but it's still going to go in. And that's what the fans should watch. See where his makes are. It's not just a game, does the ball go in? the great ones make it down the middle, and that's how they can make 85 plus, is because if they do miss it a little bit, it's still going in. Not if they pull it and it's down the left third and they miss it, it would be something like maybe his PAT kick. But that's the thing to look at. See how he makes his kicks. Are they down the middle of the upright?
If you were his long snapper, how would you approach dealing with what happened before and making sure that he's confident, even after a miss, that nothing bad's going to happen to him?
I always just left everybody alone, and we did it with Robbie. And I learned from a good one, Jeff Jaeger, that was back here in 1998, had a long, long career in the NFL with the Raiders and Bears, I think one other team. If he missed one, he would run off the field and be like, oh, that's all right, I'm going to make my next 10. And he had it in his own brain that he was okay. He was fine. And then you really don't want to get into their head or talk to them about it. To me, it's something you just have to work through on your own. It was even with me, if I was having an off day snapping where I just kind of felt like I didn't have it, I didn't want people talking to me. I just kind of wanted to work through it myself and figure it out and get on the practice field and work by myself and maybe get an outside eyes on it to give me their opinion. But I think truly it's just up to the player in that position. And it's like a golfer that you just got to stay confident and believe that you're going to hit the next fairway, believe you're going to hit the next, you know, the kick. So that's, I wouldn't say anything to him.
What have you missed most about football being gone?
Game days in the locker room. Game days are pretty special at Soldier Field. You know, you started this interview by talking about Bears-Packers at Soldier Field, and that's just going to be an awesome atmosphere. Just driving into the tunnel for game day is something that you miss, where you've seen the movie Over the Top where he takes the hat and puts it backwards. It's kind of like that. You transition into that feeling when you get in there on game day in the tunnel. It's exactly what happens, and, you know, nothing can bring that back because nothing is like that. You know, I try to play as much golf as possible and maybe put a little money on the line, but it doesn't turn it up like that. And that's just, that's probably one of the biggest things I miss.
Yeah. I'm excited for the season to get underway, and it's nice that the Bears play on Thursday instead of all of us having to wait until Sunday. Mm-hmm. The league is going all out from everything that I've seen driving around Soldier Field and downtown Chicago. They've gone all out in making this a big old party. And the hope is that the party also has a Bears win like attached to it, because that would feel awful if they ended up losing this game after all of this stuff. But Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest that's ever played. You've seen him from the sideline. You've seen him on film. What is it that he does that makes him a special player?
Just one little thing is how he can extend a play and then make that just on-point throw. We've seen numerous times where he's scrambling out and just lays it over a defender right on the sideline to the throw last year in the corner of the end zone where Kyle Fuller had him covered. I mean, who makes that throw to that perfect little, you know, box that he's got to land it in? That's the biggest thing, is how he can extend that play and then just thread that needle. That to me is what amazes me. There's a lot of quarterbacks that have the strong arm strength. You know, Drew Brees, like I said, knows what's going to happen before the play. Aaron's like that, but his legs and his arm and accuracy is just, it's one you sit there and you're up close on the sideline, you can't believe it happened. Then you watch tape and you see it from all 22 and you can't believe it even more. And that's the biggest thing about him.
There's part of me that feels like a lot of the conversation about him and LaFleur and whether or not they're going to get along, I feel like it's been overstated. I would imagine that he's probably really excited to have someone in there that can talk offense on his level and maybe challenge him a little bit. I expect him to be, if he's healthy, the best version of himself this year.
What I kind of read into that is that I don't think he felt challenged. I think maybe he felt bored. You know, he's doing the same offense. Mike McCarthy was kind of vanilla and didn't allow Aaron Rodgers to do too much until he did it on his own. I think it's going to kind of re-energize him, where he's in an offense with some new verbiage, new thoughts, new concepts. He's, like you said, a new coach to talk to and a guy that maybe he can communicate with better. So maybe it's a little scary that maybe he's a little more re-energized and has that little youthfulness with him with a new system where he's not bored and complacent.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Patrick, I'm looking forward to speaking with you throughout the season. You do a tremendous job and on all platforms where you're talking football. And I'm looking forward to hearing you on Thursday night. Get it going with you and Olin. Oh, wait, one more thing. Olin told me something when we did our photo shoot last week.
Uh-oh.
He was telling me about, like, the first year and you out there, like, playing tackle a little bit when you first got
– a lot of it.
So when was the point when you figured out, I can't do that on this level.
Oh, man, that was end of my rookie year. You know, I had a grand dream. I played O-line, two-year starter at Duke or whatever, but always wanted to be an offensive lineman, O-lineman at heart. But then you get out there and you see Olin and his strength and quickness. You see the size of Big Cat. Todd Perry, if you remember him, how good of a player he was. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I can get to that level. Let's really continue working on this long snapping thing and try to master this. And then I think it was my fourth year in training camp. Sprained my ankle in a preseason practice, and Dick Duron said, no more O-line drills for you. And I was like, that's all right with me.
I think that's probably all right for everybody. Patrick, as always, thank you so much, my friend.
All right, good talking to you. We'll talk soon.
That's Patrick Manley. He is on our Bears pregame coverage, and he's really great at his job. This hour is brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors. Create a happier, healthier home with Marvin Windows and Doors. Visit marvin.com. One of our other experts said something about the defensive approach to going up against Mitchell Trubisky that I wanted to share with you and discuss. We will do that next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
On Thursday, we're going to be broadcasting here in the Prudential, but not in our studio. We're going to be down in the hallway. So if you're near to Prudential Plaza, you should come by. Our friends at Sweetwater and Lou Mitchell are going to be sponsoring us. And the last time, Sweetwater brought some incredible food. So Sweetwater, one of the best places, I think, for a burger in town. The cheese curds are amazing also, if you're into that. And Lou Mitchell, I mean, come on. That is a Chicago breakfast staple. And they are sponsoring our Back to Football broadcast. Yes, Campy?
Had the best chicken and waffles I've ever had at Sweetwater. I believe it was a special at the time. It was a red velvet waffle.
Oh, now you're talking.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good morning right there.
It was incredible. It was a great, I think, afternoon. Either way.
Either way.
Fantastic.
No disrespect. I think I'm good on chicken and waffles.
The combination?
Yeah.
Is there a particular reason, or do you feel like it's been culturally appropriated and so you're uncomfortable ordering it in public?
That first of all, yeah. and two, like, I just like my food separated.
Okay.
Like, I don't like things touching. Like
you can
that.
Have them separate if you want. But it, to me, it's a great salty sweet. You get the salt from the chicken, and then you get the sweet from the syrup.
The salt diabetes and the sugar diabetes.
I mean, whatever it takes.
Two birds, one stone.
It's great for that. It's really outstanding, I think. I had some great food over the weekend, man. Like, you know, I did it up a little bit. We went to Promontory yesterday. In Hyde Park, so happy that they were open for brunch because we weren't sure. Went over there and it was delicious. The grits were delicious.
I don't like that word.
What?
Brunch.
Oh, dear God. Why not?
Because if it's the first meal that you're having, it's breakfast.
Okay. But what if it's combined with lunch items?
I just don't.
That are available in some places that maybe on a weekday wouldn't be available to you at that time of day.
Hold on, is Tony going to find the worst take ever of being the one person who's a Linner guy?
Do you believe in Linner?
I am a Linner guy.
Oh my God. There's nothing wrong with breakfast for dinner or lunch. Okay. There isn't, but come on.
Is it bad that when this all came up, I already had a menu up for someplace on my screen?
Really?
Tony can see it because Jarrett Payton has a new restaurant out in St. Charles. So I was checking out the menu.
Do they have brunch?
I don't know if they have brunch, but they have great happy hour specials that I'm like, oh,
okay,
this is
you can't beat that. You can't beat it.
It's not that thing. Far for me. So I might be heading out that way.
Yeah. Hey, Jarrett, get a restaurant in the city. Hey, JP, get a restaurant in the city.
He loves St. Charles.
He does. He loves it out there. I'm just saying, him and his sister both work here. Just get him, and his sister works across the street. Get a place right here. Let's go. You're a Peyton. Make it happen. Thursday, Bears, Packers. Mike Pettine is the defensive coordinator for the Packers, and he'll get another shot at Mitchell Trubisky. This morning, I was listening to Mully and Haw, and they were talking with Dave Wannstedt. And the guys asked him a little bit about what they expect from Pettine in this game. This is what Wani had to say.
You have to honor Mitch's ability to run, you know. And I think early last season, we sat here and we used to talk about it. You know, he was running to – he was scrambling to run, you know. And then I thought as the year went on, he was scrambling to throw. He started making some nice throws, you know, when he was on the move. And I used the illustration of Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson scrambles. He'll do that every play. But when he's scrambling to throw. He's not looking to run. So there's a difference. You get when you see a quarterback moving around and scrambling around, you know, Aaron Rodgers is not looking to run. You know, Aaron Rodgers. So my point is that you have to honor that. I look for Mike Pettine to bring. He's a blitz guy. He's a Rex Ryan guy. Look at his background, right? He was at Baltimore. That's where he got started. Down there with Billick and Rex Ryan. So his background is pressure, pressure, pressure. I would expect them to come in and pressure Mitch right off the bat, see how the line handles it, see how Mitch handles it, and if they give up a big play or two, then they'll back off.
Yeah, I think that too. I'm glad that Wani and I are on the same page because if you listen to this show, you know I've said that I think that Mitchell Trubisky, if it were possible, he is a baby of Ben Roethlisberger and Russell Wilson. You put those two guys together and you create Mitchell Trubisky. And one of the things I've always said about Mitch as a criticism is what Wani was talking about with Russell Wilson. Wilson scrambles to open windows to throw. Yes, he does get out and he does get yards occasionally, but he's trying to open up windows to throw. And I'd like to see Mitch do that more. And I thought as the year went on last year, he did do that more. Where it's like, well, let me use this athletic body to get a couple steps away from the defense so that I can watch my guys go to work downfield and then maybe make a play and open up some windows to throw. All right, so I gave you some Wani. So that sounds like football, right? Like as the show has gone on, we've sounded more and more like football is back. Now I'm going to give you something that really sounds like football.
Put the children away.
Yeah.
Put the kids to bed on
if
you, this one.
If your kids are in the car, well, they're not. They should be in school right now. Well, if they're a Bears fan, they should be hyped up about this. If you're a Packers fan and listening to this show right now, you're about to be scared, all right? So just know that going in because you probably haven't heard one bit from Khalil Mack all offseason long because you don't need to hear from him. Because that man comes to work and he gets quarterbacks on the ground. Well, Khalil Mack is ready to hit somebody. And the next team that's put in front of him is the Green Bay Packers.
All the little things, man. You see the little small communication things and just guys knowing each other better and how to respond off of what we do and how to respond when things are moving a little too slow. And so, yeah, you can tell. You can get that feeling. And so it's new. It's new in those different ways, but at the same time, it's still the same old guy.
First half at Lambeau last year, what do you remember about the way you felt making that splash in your first half with this team?
Man, only thing I can remember now is that we didn't win the game, you know what I mean? Ultimately, you do those things to be in a position to win the game, and that's all I can think about from that game. Every time I look at the highlights and all the different things, you still want to win the game.
We all understand why. Starters didn't play in preseason.
Yeah,
because he gets healthy. But for a football player,
yeah,
how itching? How much are you ready to hit somebody?
Oh man, I'm so ready to hit somebody other than my teammate. You know what I mean? It's something we're looking forward to, and it's something I feel like it's gonna make us a lot hungrier coming out there Thursday night.
Being off.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's
absolutely.
Even beyond staying healthy, it's a positive in terms of mindset.
Absolutely. Mindset is the whole thing, you know what I mean? When you think about missing a whole off season last year, my mindset was I can't wait to go out and take this out on somebody else.
What do you do Thursday to pass the time? It's a long time from the time you wake up to the time you actually do get to hit somebody.
Yeah, man. It's a lot of things you could do, but ultimately, like you said, just keep staying in mind frame and stay focused and locked in and know what you're going to get throughout the game and focus on those different things.
What do you do, though? Do you take a nap during the day? Do you
go easy breezy, man. I don't really got nothing to – I don't plan out my day.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But ultimately, it's just ultimately getting ready for Green Bay.
Has there ever been anyone in sports that talks so calmly and wreaks as much havoc? The combination of the two. Khalil Mack is super laid back. He's the yoga guy. He does all the yoga. But even in that soundbite, he was like, yeah, I'm ready to hit somebody now. It's terrifying. It's terrifying because he's the calm guy. It's terrifying because he's not Latimer from the program. He's not out here headbutting people. He's just kind of sitting back in his locker like, yeah, you know, it's probably time to hit someone in the face. So I'm looking forward to that. Well, what do you do on game days, Khalil? I just kind of get ready to hit people in the face. That's what I do. I love that dude, man. Because he's like a villain in a movie, but he's on your team, so he's like the hero. But he's like a villain in a movie that's just kind of like, yeah, let him go ahead and do that, and then we'll show up. It's great. I know that we only get to hear him talk once a week, but still, it just seems like a guy that's at his locker kind of scratching his head like, is it time for me to do the thing that I do? Cool. Because I'm looking forward to doing that thing. You're ready to go, aren't you, Tony?
Man, I felt that in the fiber of my being, what he meant. He has bad intentions for the Green Bay Packers.
Man, he's just – the Bears are very lucky to have them, and congratulations on having him for a year.
He's such a man.
He's just like, can we start playing now? Because this you pay me to hurt people, so I'm going to do that now. Okay, great. Break. We need to give you an update from House Hall. Trey Burton, by the way, he practiced today. He's got a little bit of a groin situation, but during the open media session, he was on the field. We'll hear from Chris Emma next here on The Score.
I'm so ready to hit somebody other than my teammate, you know what I mean? It's something we're looking forward to, and it's something I feel like it's going to make us a lot hungrier coming out there Thursday night.
The Thanos of the Bears, Khalil Mack, is ready to hit somebody. That's exciting. This from the Bears, officially. Trey Burton, Cowart, and who else was on the limited list today?
Bilal Nichols.
Bilal Nichols. All were limited in practice. Trey Burton, the most important tight end, the U tight end for the Bears, he has a groin issue. So hopefully he will be ready to go on Thursday, and then the Bears offense will be complete and ready to ride. Our guy, Chris Emma, has done an amazing job throughout training camp of getting us ready by letting us know what's happening at Halas Hall. Today is no different. He files this report.
Game week preparation continues on in Lake Forest as the Bears are just 2 days out from kickoff with the Packers. Tuesday at Halas Hall will replicate the regular Friday routine of a game week. But come pregame at Soldier Field on Thursday night, all the preparation will be complete and the emotions will rise. That will be especially true for Packers coach Matt LaFleur, who will be working his first game as a head coach while facing a rival in prime time on the road. It's the same scenario in which Matt Nagy began his career as a head coach.
There'll be a lot of emotions. For us, it's the same as it's a rivalry game. So we both had it our first year, mine being on the road and now his being on the road. But I think we all treat it differently. In my opinion, you're not human if you don't feel it, you know, and you don't get a little emotional. I don't think he's ever been a head coach before. I was never a head coach before. So this is like a lifetime dream that you get to stand there and, you know, lead a bunch of guys, and it's pretty cool. So he'll be feeling it. No matter what he says, he'll be feeling it. But I know I did, and shoot, we're all going to be feeling it here Thursday.
LaFleur downplayed the advantage he may have with unscouted looks for his offense against the Bears' defense, pointing to how new defensive coordinator Chuck Pagano has the same edge on his side. Pagano hasn't tipped his hand much as to what new elements he will bring for the Bears' defense, but one can expect to see second-year linebacker Roquan Smith as an active presence.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal football player, and feel like that kid's been around for a long, long time. You know, he's mature beyond his years, and he understands the game, and I think it's really slowing down, you know, for him in a short amount of time that he's been, you know, with this organization and played at this level. So, you know, everything you ask, you know, Roquan to do, you know, physically he's able to do it. So, you know, whether it's, you know, being a downhill inside linebacker, you know, playing between the tackles, if you want to bring him, you can bring him. We know every time he blitzes, he gets a sack. So it'd be pretty smart to probably bring him. But, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but we'll probably drop him the whole time now anyway. So, you know, coverage, he's great in coverage. Again, he understands. He gets football, you know, so, and he spends a tremendous amount of time. He's a great teammate. He's a great player. All those kind of things. So, again, it's going to be exciting to see him roll.
Tight end Trey Burton suffered a groin strain last week and was limited in practice on Monday. Tackle Rashad Coward remains sidelined due to an elbow injury. The team will reveal its final injury report on Wednesday afternoon. For continued coverage of the Bears, follow me on Twitter at CM670 and log on to 670thescore.com.
Great stuff from Emma. The Bob and the Hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves, your Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves. Open the season Saturday, October 5th. For group and season tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. I'll talk with McNeil and Parkins next here on The Score.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
A big thanks to our guest today, Joe Madden, who told you that Ben Zobris will be in the lineup today and leading off, and that Wilson Contreras is back in the lineup, which is good news. Thanks to Patrick Manley, who joined the show. Thanks to Tony and Campy for their hard work. Man, White Sox Twitter right now. Woo-wee! It is fantastic. We now go up north, down the road into the other side of the glass. Although I guess I'm on the other side of the glass. The boys are at Aurelio's today. It's the sauce. Such good pizza. Dan McNeil and Danny Parkins will have their show from Aurelio's today from now until 6 o'clock. Hello, men.
Hello, Lawrence.
What's up, Lawrence?
For 60 years, it has been the sauce.
You better
tell
them
Joe
it.
Sent me. It's oh, my so goodness. Good. Originally in Homewood, now they're all over. They just canvassed Chicagoland, and we're all better because of it. Good stuff today with Joe Madden. I'm excited about seeing Ben Zobris back in the lineup tonight. I have not known him for very long, to say the least, but I like the guy, and I wish him nothing but the best, and I think he and the Cubs have handled this thing about as well as you can.
And they can't do any worse at the leadoff spot.
Correct.
Right? They have the lowest on-base percentage for a team at leadoff in the entire league. So even if he plays 2 or 3 days a week, it's virtually impossible for them to get less production from that spot. And we've got Jed Hoyer, who's going to join us in person here at Aurelio's, Lawrence, in a couple of minutes. But I thought Joe's argument with you was interesting. They're 22-10 when Hayward leads off. But he's hitting 147 as a leadoff hitter, so how much is he really contributing to that one loss record? Like that, to me, that sounds like a philosophical disagreement between Joe Madden and the front office. I'm looking forward to getting Jed's opinion on whether or not he thinks that's causal.
Yeah,
like if he thinks that the Cubs have a good record because of Hayward's presence there.
That's one of the reasons why I want to ask it, because I know that he's not comfortable in that spot. Like he did it because someone needed to do it. But it's not the spot in the lineup that he would prefer to hit at. And it's taken a real big chunk out of what was a pretty good season for Jason Hayward up to that point. The struggles for him in the leadoff spot. But with Zobris and Contreras coming back, like you just want to see them be more proactive in their at-bats. And having Contreras in the middle of that lineup again, I think it helps them out quite a bit.
Hayward now has as many plate appearances at leadoff as he does at sixth in the lineup, which is 147, which is his most at any spot in the lineup. So he has been a leadoff hitter this year as much or more than he has hit anywhere else in the lineup for the Cubs. And the numbers are drastic.
Yep.
He's got a .340 on base percentage when he hits sixth, and a .250 on base percentage when he leads off. But Lawrence, this was unfortunately short. We'll see you tomorrow and at Navy Pier with Miller Lite to give away Bears and Packers tickets and hang out there. But we're going to step aside so that we got full time with the Cubs general manager.
Do it, men. Have a great show and enjoy the pizza.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.